Let's go down to Petco and bring in Andy Baggerly at Extra Bags on Twitter with two G's. And Andy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Marty. Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Very good. A beautiful day up here. I'm sure down in San Diego, it's equally beautiful. It's a great place to be. But last night, Madison Bumgarner goes to the Hill. And, of course, the Giants lose at 5-3 to a dramatic Hector Sanchez home run. It just crushed the ball. But I want to get your thoughts about Bumgarner and what you saw about him.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. The whole game just seemed like nothing had happened. He hadn't missed any time, and it was the same Bumgarner we've seen. It was the same Giants team we've seen all season. I mean, it was, you know, they still haven't won a Bumgarner start. They were 0-4 in his starts before he got hurt. And, of course, you know, him missing 3 months is part of what went wrong this season. I don't think you can lump everything on him. A team doesn't get 27 games out in the division by losing one pitcher. But, you know, I think that was a big mental effect to not have him there to kind of give them that competitive fire every fifth day. So he goes out, and it's pretty amazing. He strikes out the side in the first inning, and talking to Buster Posey afterward, he's like, I didn't know what to expect. You know, it'd been a while since I'd seen him and received him. And, you know, in a lot of ways, he didn't seem any different. Fastball, you know, not up to 93, 94 when he needs to hump it up, but that's not there yet. And maybe not the best fastball command, but pretty darn good command for a guy who hasn't faced major league pitching in 3 months. And just as striking as it was that Bumgarner looked like he hadn't missed time was, you know, that the rest of the game kind of played to the regular old pattern too. Same old, same old. They can't knock out a pitcher early when they have him on the ropes. And then the bullpen makes a big situational mistake. Steven Okert making way too good a pitch with first base open in the winning run in scoring position. And boom, Hector Sanchez has really killed the Giants, hasn't he?
Boy, with 3 homers and 12 at-bats, number 6 or 7 RBIs, whatever it is. And you know, it's good for him. Look, this guy took a bunch of shots to the noggin and sort of knocked him out of the Giants with all the concussion stuff. He went over to the White Sox and not much happened. And ended up here, and you know, in baseball, there are spots for people like this who can swing the bat, and this kid can swing the bat, and you know, in a funny way, it was kind of nice to see it for Hector Sanchez. I was just hoping in the celebration they didn't hit him in the head when he crossed the plate.
Well, Marty, that's exactly before, as he's stepping to the plate there, I said to Chris Haft, who's sitting a couple seats down from me, I said, only Hector Sanchez could get a walk-off hit and then get a concussion in the celebration.
Really?
You know, and probably not something we should joke about because it's a really serious matter, but as we know, he was known as the magnet for getting all the foul tips and stuff when he was with the Giants. So, sure enough, he not only gets a walk-off hit, but the home run. So, hopefully he emerged from that without getting his bell rung.
Yeah, good for him. And the other part of Bumgarner, and when they hit the home runs off him, when Caesar hit the home run and Blash hit the home run, it's a player I like a lot, those long arms, and he gets the bat out there. Bumgarner stared at him. You know, it was like mid-season form. He stared at the umpire last night. He walked off the mound a couple of times thinking he got a third strike. And for the 2 home runs, if you look at him, when the ball is hit, he's looking at the hitter to see what they do with the bat. So I figured if he's doing that, he's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, he actually did that in San Jose, too. He was staring down the single A umpire when he didn't get a strike call. So, you know, can't change the Tiger's stripes, I guess. But, you know, then one thing he said that was interesting is he didn't think the pitches were very bad, but he thought maybe the selections weren't so great. Now, I didn't nail down whether those were Buster's calls or Bumgarner had shook to those. But, you know, looking back, he thought that maybe a curveball wasn't the best pitch to throw to Blash that ended up being a 2-run shot. You know, and it's part of the feel for pitching, too, that it's you don't just get back immediately after a couple of minor league starts. So, you know, and the best part, I think, is that he felt fine after 6. He went back out for a 7th. His delivery didn't look like it was compromised or changed or he's altering for some kind of, you know, pinch or range of motion issue or anything like that. I mean, all that stuff looked about the same. Maybe the arm speed is down a tick from where we would normally see it at this point of the year, but this is like a guy who just had, you know, half of a spring training trying to come back. So, you know, overall, given how bad this injury could have been, it could have been career ending, could have been life ending, to see him back on the mound doing this after 3 months, even though, you know, he's got all the reason in the world to have remorse, and he should, for what he did and the situation he put his team in. You know, I think you got to look at a game like last night and all the circumstances and feel pretty grateful that he's back out there doing his thing.
Well, I agree with you 100%. Andy Baggerly with us on this beautiful Sunday morning. Nice down there in San Diego this morning.
Marine Layer is just showing hints of burning off here, Marty. It's still a little overcast, but should be a nice day. Pride Week down here, so that's all the hotels are full, rainbow flags everywhere, and very festive environment here in San Diego.
Very good. All right. Now, this time of year, of course, we had Bobby Evans on yesterday. I said, are you having fun? And it didn't sound like he's having a lot of fun with all the rumors and the John Haymans, John Morosi, and all these people every day, Ken Rosenthal, all with the rumors. And it's funny because today there are two pitchers in the game. As I said when we started, you probably heard me. Samardzija all of a sudden is being investigated by the Houston Astros, and they're looking at his background for some reason. And also Trevor Cahill is one of those under-the-radar right-handers who could be moved. So it kind of is an interesting matchup today for these two guys. Their names are in the Internet. They're on the Internet.
Yeah, I'm going to go through the press dining lounge. The scouts are all sitting in there and just hand around a sheet and say, please put down your name and what organization you work for, let me know who you came to see today. And I'll just pass that sheet around and then I'll collect it up and see what information I've got there. But you know what? It's somebody said to me the other day, someone in the front office, oh, this is your most fun time of year. And I said, you got a wacky idea of what fun is, pal, because this is not fun at all. You know, and I was thinking about it. And what we do, you know, as beat reporters, as the people who, you know, our organizations invest a lot of money in travel and salary and everything so that we can be here every day, is perspective. That's the number one thing I think that we can lend to people is perspective. And yeah, there's a little more of an analysis bend to what we do now, where you're not just saying what the team will do, but maybe what they could or should do. And looking at the pros and cons. And I think that the job has opened up a bit more than what it has been. But at the end of the day, you want to just be able to give people and have them be able to make an informed judgment and have an informed opinion. You don't tell people what to think, but you try to inform them so that they've got that perspective. And it's so easy to get out of whack this time of year because, you know, you feel like you're knocking down every national report. Oh, well, yeah, of course the Astros are looking into Jeff Samardzija. They have major league scouts. They're looking at pitching everywhere. It doesn't mean that the Giants are inclined to move him or will move him or should move him. Or there's like a 1% chance he would move. But, you know, if that gets a headline and gets some clicks, then, you know, why not dive in with both feet, right? So it's a time of year where separating fact from fiction, I feel, is the best thing I can do to have value. And sometimes there might be an interesting match somewhere. And other times you're just like, oh, great, this has been reported nationally. Now I got to address it or write about it in some form or fashion.
Well, we have the Hot Stove League over the winter. And the way that came about, people would be sitting around the stove in Minnesota, wherever they were, and talking about baseball and trades and all that. Well, baseball loved it, and now baseball has it for the trade deadline, which is now July 31st. It used to be June the 15th, and this is what baseball loves because it gets headlines every single day. Look, the Marlins are going to be sold. So Larry Kruger last night, and we had fun with it on the show, he was tweeting out, the Giants must make a deal for Giancarlo Stanton, take on all the money no matter what it costs and do that. And it's kind of it's what fuels baseball talk, and baseball's a talking sport. So I don't have a problem with it. I just, like you say, it's hard to understand what's fact and fiction. But I think, Andy, the bottom line is when you do your job and you're confident in your job and you know what you're doing, there is a sense of, hey, I've been trained for this, and it is sort of fun to do it. Like you have a feeling of accomplishment when you do it and you've been trained to do it properly.
Well, and I think that too, it's good to have people talking baseball. And I think the sport understands that, recognizes that. That's why they still play up the winter meetings into a big deal, like you say. It gets baseball in the conversation. People are talking about that and not other sports. And you want to be in the consciousness of people who might watch games or buy tickets or, you know, make other, you know, consumer decisions based on that. So, and in the media, of course, it's you want to be relevant. You want to have people be reading what you're writing and watching what you're recording and all that. So, I think that too, the fact that everyone plays fantasy baseball or it's gotten so popular, you know, people engineer their own trades and they put themselves in the shoes of a GM or somebody making decisions. So, you know, that only heightens the sort of fun aspect of, hey, you know, could we make the trade for this guy or that guy? You know, and the one thing I'll say about Stanton is I do think that is an interesting opportunity potentially, because a lot of times when teams are being sold or any business is being sold, you're looking to streamline costs. You're looking to eliminate future obligations. You want to make that transaction go as tidy as possible so the new person can move in with as much a blank slate as they can get. Now, it's different because Stanton is a franchise star, but, you know, that's a huge, huge obligation. And you know, maybe it could be conditional to the team getting sold that they have to try to reduce payroll or at least reduce their obligation to him. And maybe it might not cost a lot in talent to get a guy like that. But, you know, the Giants also have more money committed in 2019 than anybody else already. If they get Stanton, it's going to be hard for them to stay under the luxury tax, which, you know, is sort of their self-imposed salary cap right now. So I think that if they did make a play for him, it would be a big-time deal. It would mean that other big salary pieces were being moved to make room for him. So I wouldn't completely discount that as something that is worth watching, even if I think the possibility of it happening is pretty darn remote.
Yeah, I think it's a great answer because of the new ownership coming in. And sometimes you want to keep everything, and other times you want to strip it down and say, okay, now it's my team. I'm going to fire the general manager, the manager, and now I'm going to put my guys in. And that also sort of bleeds over to players as well. So let's see what happens. One last thought for you. Andy Baggerly with us, Extra Bags with two G's on Twitter. Andy, Cueto yesterday was very clear that the blisters are bothering him, the hot spots are bothering him. And according to him, he has not been right all year. He feels like a rookie. What does this do to Cueto's season and just judging where this may end up with him?
Well, I think it's really kind of interesting because, you know, here we all assume that he would opt out of his contract and maybe he still will be in a position to do so if he only has, you know, six or eight really good starts at the end of the year or maybe even fewer. I mean, you know, look at Rich Hill and the contract he got based on, you know, just a couple of starts. Sometimes that's all you need when you've got a track record and you've got, you know, the kind of stuff that shows up on scouting reports. So I think there's still a lot of time for this situation with his contract to go either way. You know, and I don't think it's going to matter what his ERA is at the end of the year. I think it's going to matter what he looks like in those last handful of starts, whether he is even in a position to where opting out would make sense. Because right now, if he doesn't throw another pitch this season, then it's hard to see him, you know, leaving $84 million on the table. In terms of what it does for him at the trade deadline, you know, I think the Giants were not keen on moving him unless they got something in return that was really going to be hard to deny. And in the way he'd been pitching this season, it's hard to see any team really kind of moving major league important pieces or prospects ready to break through to acquire this guy. Because, you know, as Brian Sabian said to me the other day, even though the Giants are in a selling position, they're kind of unique. They're not looking for, you know, four or five, you know, really good prospects who are 19 years old. They're looking for guys who can make an impact and help them be a contender in 2018, whether they're, you know, on the verge of being a major league player or already are on a 25-man roster and showing they can succeed in the big leagues. So that's going to make really reduce the number of deals that are going to be to their liking for anybody.
Boy, it's going to be fun. I have fun with it. I hope Bobby is having fun. And you're having fun, aren't you, doing this? Isn't this a good time of year?
Well, I mean, you know, it's stressful. And you don't like having to feel like you have to respond to things that are complete nonsense. You know, you feel sort of like Kevin Bacon in Animal House going, all is well, you know. But, you know, the uncertainty of it, I think, is fun. You know, when you really kind of have a good feel for what the team is going to do, yeah. You know, or you can telegraph a move that happens or you get a sense for something, that's fun. It's always fun to be feel like you're in a position of writing about a topic with authority. And I think being here every day and continuing to cover the team on an everyday basis, you know, there are very few people who have that opportunity. So I'm very grateful for that. And yeah, hopefully we get through July 31 and and onward. And hopefully some of these games are entertaining and exciting too, because, you know, it seems like we want to do everything but write about what happens in the game, but there's still a billion little things you can look at and analyze. And to me, that's the fun part.
All right. Well, it's like riding a big wave. And, you know, that's how I look at it. Hey, great to talk with you as always. A great perspective. I like our perspective on Sunday morning, too, as opposed to just a complete analysis. So that was pretty good. So have a great day. And as far as handling people on Twitter and all the nonsense, we leave that to Henry, don't we? We leave that to Henry.
Hey, you know what else I'm excited about, Marty? Game of Thrones is back. Are you excited about that?
Believe me, I've heard enough about it over the last 24 hours. it is going to be on. I won't even start with the jokes. It will be on tonight. Absolutely.
Yes, it will.
Okay.
Yes, it will.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Thanks so much. I'll see you this week.
Winter is coming. Thank you, Marty.
Okay. Very good. That's Andy Baggerly with 2 G's. Really enjoy having him with us. All right. We'll take a break. More coming up in the Sports Leader.